All right, welcome once again, everybody. This is Wednesday, July 6th. Thanks for being on the Wednesday webinar. We've got quite a number of different things to cover tonight. I have enclosed a syllabus in your handout section. So if you look on the right-hand side of your screen, you go to webinar panel. If you scroll down, you should see handouts written there. And click on the little triangle, the little arrow, if you will. Open that up if you need to, and you'll see the syllabus for this evening. And you can download that directly to your computer. Also, if you're new to this format, you can participate in this call a couple of different ways. For easiest ways is just type in your questions. Again, you'll see on your right-hand side in your GoToWebinar control panel, you'll see questions there, and go ahead and start typing in any questions as we go along. And I'll be glad to answer those, because all of those show up on my screen as well. Also, if you're equipped either on the telephone, be able to talk with us, or if your computer is equipped with a microphone and you can talk over that, you can participate that way as well, simply by raising your hand, and I will do my best to continue to scroll and look for raised hands and then put you on the call. I'll be looking for first Paul Pedry, and I'll get you on the call after I set up your deal here. A couple of things I want to cover first. All of you should have received an email today that looks like this. I'll make it bigger. And what this email is all about is letting you know that the July offering, so this offering coming out this month, will be launched through the Notes Direct trading platform. Okay. Our Titanium students will receive an email tomorrow afternoon, Thursday, advising them that the site is live and the assets are ready to purchase. All other mentor students will receive a similar email Tuesday, July 12th. So we are launching that, and again, they've got some instructions on here to guide you through that process, and who knows, we think we've got all of the potential bugs, snafus, whatever you want to call them, worked out, so everything should be working smoothly. Would highly, highly, highly encourage you, if you haven't done so already, on the Note School membership website, we have added new training videos on Notes Direct. So if you go to the membership website, as soon as you log in, it'll have it right on the front page. You can't miss it. So just click right there. And we've got three videos, and this is these three videos are with both myself and Ralph Marshall. And we went ahead and just took some extra time and said, you know what, let's do something from start to finish on all of this. And that's what we did. And the videos are as long as the videos took. You'll see anywhere from 13 to 27 minutes. But we just broke them into some more logical segments. I think that will help all of you understand how the program works. So in getting ready for this launch, it would be in your best interest to go through those videos and make sure that you have a good understanding of how it works. This was a copy of the presentation that Ralph did on some webinars, but I think you'll I would recommend you start here, and if you think you got it, that's fine. If you want to see a little bit more on the purchasing side of things, you may want to take a look at that video as well. All right. I did notice we had a couple of comments through the help desk today that indicated that this CVS sample is not downloading for some folks. Now, if you click on this CVS, you'll see what happens on my screen there. And I'm using the Safari browser. It comes with Macs. And for whatever reasons, it doesn't look like that is downloading properly. However, it works properly on Chrome, and it works properly on Firefox as well. Don't know about the other one, but Firefox and Chrome, that is working fine. All it will give you is a sample of what the new spreadsheets are going to look like, and there's some added data there. So make sure you go through those videos, and of course, once you make sure you have your pass-in code and everything else, and you'll be able to log in and start searching for assets. Okay? The videos will walk you through each one of these categories. They'll also show how you can convert your favorites into a spreadsheet. So you're not going to see any spreadsheets on this direct platform until you start to add assets into my favorites. So I've got a couple old samples in here right now, and you can see where I can download this to a CVS. So once you elect these, select, I should say, these, of which ones are your favorites, then you'll be able to see a customized tape based upon the assets that you are interested in. Okay, so make sure you take a look at all of that, because that is the new way, obviously, that we're going to be distributing these assets. Okay, I also want to go over some industry stats with you, as I do like to do from time to time. So I'm going to switch to a little PowerPoint here for you. And haven't incorporated these into my three-day training slides just yet, but they will be. It kind of starts here, and then I pretty them up and go from there. But we always start the training, both trainings actually, talking about the industry. So on the performing side, non-performing side, that's where we start, because you have to understand where the industry is and how those relate. And this year has really taken off quite quickly. We've seen some numbers already where we're on track for about $1 billion a month, and they took about a month off or so, and now Freddie Mac is right up selling assets again. So Freddie Mac announced that they're going to be selling $706 million in non-performing notes to private investors. Excuse me. And let's see. That's going to be on the bottom. I think you can hear it here. That was the last sale last month. Five pools. Yeah, this will probably be four or five pools as well. Fannie Mae announced three pools of non-performing loans for sale this month, or June, I should say, also. And this is the fourth community impact pool offering. And the community impact pool offering are targeted areas. They are specific areas, so it's more of a concentration. Most of these other releases are just any assets that they have nationwide, where these community impact pools are specifically targeted geographic locations. And I look at those just to see where we might start to see assets down the road that reach our level. You're all familiar with the waterfall that we talk about. These assets start at the big players, and then they carve off what they don't want, et cetera, et cetera. You can see in this one, here's another, just a very small sample in Miami. Just focused at Miami, 90 loans, $20 million in UPB. So the grand total here, they've got two other large pools, 3,300 loans in there, another 500. So you're looking at $540 million there as well. The FHFA, which is a regulatory agency, to make delinquent loan sales more transparent. There are some people that have a little problem with having these government-sponsored enterprises sell these notes directly to investors. And on the one hand, I get that. But on the other hand, who else is going to buy them? You know, they have to go back through this system here. And I totally could get the argument where Goldman Sachs was one of the biggest buyers of the last two sales of some of these assets, and they were a huge part of the problem. There's no question about that. But the reality is if the government wants to get these off of their books because they are not geared to handle the problem, they're going to have to get them through some of these big buyers. And guess what? Those who the big buyers are. So they're trying to make that a little bit more transparent on how that's going to be handled, how the system works, and they're going to try to get more nonprofits involved and those sorts of things. I don't think they're going to be successful in that, quite frankly, because again, nonprofits, where do they have the capital, you know, to buy $300-500 million worth of notes? And the issue is they normally don't. And I've actually taken some time and looked through some of these nonprofits, and it's interesting how these nonprofits are actually owned by a subsidiary of one of the bigger buyers. So there's some gamesmanship going on in there as well. So HUD, first sale of the program began in 2010, and obviously they have followed suit. HUD has sold to date 105,000 loans and about $18 billion in UPB. Again, if you've been to one of our classes, we talk about the fact that these HUD properties, HUD announced a couple years ago, they're getting out of the foreclosure business, so they're staying right on track. And so cash sales. Cash sales have gone up in really one category. Everything else has really tapered off since the crash of the marketplace. And you can see, obviously, people were ramping up and buying discounted properties here. Short sales, you can see when they took off, et cetera, et cetera. But the only one that's really continued on this trajectory here, cash sales, has been REO sales. And the rest have all kind of trickled down. And excuse me. So REO sales, that's still almost 60% cash buyers on those. And that's significant to us, by the way, because of this one. Black Knight Financial Services puts out a mortgage monitor. It's a lengthy program on the mortgage industry every single month. So the one in April that was released in June, cash transactions account for over 60% of low price band home sales. And of course, that's the space that we specialize in. And that's the area also where our whole 50-50 turnkey rental model comes into place, because what you're going to find is a lot of these cash buyers are looking to buy real estate. Now, that might be real estate that you purchased and through a non-performing note made available, or something you've fixed up, or rental properties. And that's the strongest point for these cash sales. So that's always interesting to keep an eye on there, because I don't think that's going to change. I think that's going to at least stay where it is, and that's probably my guess. Apologize. All right. So, yep, inventory levels, we're going to be good. Whoops. Hang on. Sorry about that. Your screen might have went blank for a minute there. Anyhow, inventory levels are going to continue this year, and we're going to see a number of assets still coming out on a regular basis. So everything is looking good on that. All right. Very good. Okay. So now let's go ahead and get to our first question here. We have a student that's looking at a purchase here in Pennsylvania. They submitted all the documents, like to confirm what they were thinking of before they purchased it. The property has been sold twice for cash since the note and the mortgage was created. Last payment was made January 2009. Chain of title looks like this: original note owner, then sold it to Weckerly's, and then the Weckerly's sold it to Property Management LLC. Can we foreclose on the property? Who do we foreclose on? And could we do a deed in lieu? And is there anything else that we are missing? So let me go ahead and find Paul here and get the skinny on this deal. Where are you, Paul? Paul, gotcha. All right, Paul, I've got you unmuted there. How you doing?
Doing well. Are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
Good deal.
Okay, so I've had a chance to look through some of these items here, but I wanted to kind of trigger in on what you were looking for, what your questions were on all of this. So give me a little bit of the background, what you're thinking, and what you need some help with.
Well, I've even got more questions since I sent this in.
Okay.
Essentially, we just were looking at this, and one of the things we discovered is it had the wrong title work done on it. So we got the right title work, and in that discovered that the property had been sold a couple of different times. So I think I know the answer, but I wanted to make sure. First of all, I'm assuming since it's been sold, there's not much of a chance of workout or anything, so we would have to do a foreclosure. So we're foreclosing on the property. So my suspicion is we foreclose on, or we file with, the deed holder, the current deed holder, which is not the person that signed the note nor the mortgage.
Okay, correct? So is the pro title, that's the correct one, title search?
This one is correct. The one you have there is correct.
Okay, so this one is correct.
Yeah, and they did not go all the way back. So there's their deed.
Okay. right? That's all they've got on here. So what you're saying is that the people who are on the mortgage are not the same that are on the deed.
Correct. So it's a Laura Carlson on a Susan Carlson on the mortgage.
Okay. So let me just to help myself with this one. I'm going to open just a blank document here, so I think this will help. Actually, you know what? I'll just go ahead. Yeah, that's fine. I'll do it on this. Okay, so just so I'm clear on everything here, there's a couple of documents, everybody, that we look at on every deal, right? We always look at the note. We look at the security agreement. And then we look at the deed of the property. So tell me, Paul, then, who is on the note?
Susan Carlson.
Susan Carlson. Okay. And Susan Carlson's also on the security agreement?
Correct.
And then the deed, though, is who has the deed then?
Current deed holder is Venego Property Management, LLC.
Okay. Property Management, LLC. All righty. Carlson sold it to?
He actually sold it to a different person, Weckerly, for $1,750.
And that's what shows on the title report.
No, that actually, if you go to the county, I sent you the county one. Okay. It has the deed from the county.
That's this one here.
That one right there.
Okay. So this is what the county shows. I'm going to try to put these a little bit side by side here. This is what the county shows on the left-hand side of your screen.
Correct.
Okay. So this goes back to 71. All right. So they are showing has been granted. Once again, everybody on the call, grantor, grantee. The grantee receives the grant. The grant is when the deed is conveyed. So the property ownership is conveyed. Okay. And I actually looked that up, too, just so everybody can see where this information came from. Again, I just went to the same website to take a look at it myself. I used that NetR online website, and took me right here. So I found this information. And you've gone through all this as well?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and that's where he got his info from here. And have you gone through, these are photos of the actual house and everything. Okay.
Correct, yeah.
Let's see. All right, so the deed we can see, and did you also then search for the mortgages or anything like that? Did you see assignment of mortgages?
I did not. I could not find anything here on it.
All right.
There was one in your guys's due diligence on the link. There was an assignment from, I believe it was Rock Top to Colonial.
Okay, but that you didn't send to me. That's fine.
No. This is the original mortgage, original filed mortgage.
Okay. Well, let's see. So, Venango Property Management, LLC, named after the county, I guess, that this is located in.
Correct. Yep.
They are the owner. And they got it for $8,000, Vicki and Brian. Did you look these documents up?
I am not able to see them online. You have to order them, and I have not done that yet.
Okay.
The one document we actually see in the title search, so the one from Venego is in the title search that Pro did.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed on, and maybe I should bring that up to everybody, what I was looking at on this, was, I use that NetR Online website. You don't have to use this one. You can look it up through Google, but this does kind of point out some things pretty quickly to you. What was that zip again? You got it handy? 16301?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, where it has the assessor's office, go to data online. That's the one that we're looking at here. That's the one that we're looking at here. And the assessor's office generally has information just like this about the property, what the property might look like, square footage, and change of ownership, that sort of thing. They generally do not keep the public records there. Instead, on public records, you get that through Registrar of Deeds right here, and their website says website only. And normally what that means on this when it says website only is there's no place to get information, or you might have to subscribe. So far you would have to subscribe or call them to order those?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. I'm the foreclosure, let's get back to your question here. So the question then is, who are we foreclosing on, right? We've got a couple issues here. We've got Susan who's on the notes, Susan's who's on the security agreement, but this is showing the property owner. What I'm thinking may have happened here, and I'm totally just projecting this, it would make sense to me that they took this property over subject to the first mortgage, perhaps. I'd have to see what those numbers were, but there's another party. Now that I think about that, there's another party in the middle, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so that doesn't make sense.
I actually think there was a wrong title search, just like what we had on the note originally. I think they searched the wrong title, didn't show anything, and they just sold it for cash.
I'm
projecting as well, but that's my guess, since there's a third party in the middle of it.
Yeah, I guess we're kind of still suffering from lack of enough proper information here until you read those documents and really get what the story is on this. What did you instruct Pro Title to do? Just to check ownership, or?
Well, this is the one that you guys had on yours. I just discovered it was wrong, and so Charles went in and had him update it to the right property and sent it to me.
Oh, okay.
So I have not ordered it myself just yet.
Yeah, they're not showing any.
Yeah, they only went back to one owner. They didn't go all the way back.
Well, it's just no open mortgages found either, though, which is really weird. But that other owner would be the one previous to that, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you on this one other than what I would do is contact Pro Title again, or maybe by way of Charles, and because there's still some confusion on here. I don't know, you know, they're saying no mortgage, but there appears to be one at least listed. Where did you find that she was on the in this one? Yeah, this is the original. Yeah, you either need to go through the county and see if it's on their recording system. Or pay a title company to do that, and that's really all. If I was faced with this predicament, that's what I would have to do. It's the same thing. So you know, my action would be to try to go on the county website and see what the subscription or what to order those documents, because you do have at least the deed documents here, which hopefully give you some information on. Well, that wouldn't do it either. Yeah, we got to see what other liens are on there, so that's really going to bring us to this.
Yeah. Actually, go back to Pro Title a second. Something I just noticed.
Yeah, they just did a current owner search.
Yeah, but their book and page number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, book and page number, that's 680-457.
Yeah.
Never mind, that's the wrong one. Go to the mortgage. No, the original mortgage. Go back to the original mortgage. And then the county list. So their book number is 393976. that is not what matches on the county. If you go look at the county website, that list there, it's 361,176. I did check the legal descriptions, and all the legal descriptions match.
Okay, so again, everybody, what he's looking at is this book and page number that it's stamped over here, and matching up to, this is Susan Carlson, so that would be this one. Whoops, sorry about that. $393, yeah, that's not even in the right book, huh?
Oh, you know what? This is the mortgage and that's the deed. That's why it's different.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, this is a title thing. So I don't know if again, now that I'm looking at this, we're doing a current owner search here. That's one thing, but what we really need to know is about the mortgages here. I don't know that that's what they looked into based upon the name of that or the type of the report there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got two routes there. You could contact Pro Title and have another report done, or you'll need to contact the county and see how you can look up those other documents yourself on that.
Okay.
Because the whole thing with the foreclosure is that you are foreclosing on the person who promised to pay. So I don't know that we were satisfied on who that is, because it very easily could be that there was another mortgage on here, and we just don't see any indicator of what that might be, right?
Yeah. Let me ask this question. Let's assume that she sold it for cash. They did a wrong title search and allowed it to close.
Yeah.
I would still have to go foreclose then on Venagle Property Management, because they're actually the ones holding the deed. Because we foreclose on the property, not necessarily note holder. Correct?
Well, the property is the collateral. You're foreclosing on the foreclosure is the enforcement of the mortgage. So it could be where somebody's on the deed, but they're not on the mortgage, and you can still foreclose and get that property. For example, in one of our case studies, which is going to be something else that'll cover a little bit of what we're doing a little bit later, is so a father died, left the property to his son. Well, the son goes on the deed of the property, but he's not on the note, he's not on the mortgage. Can you still foreclose? Yes, because you're enforcing the mortgage and you're taking that collateral away.
So this would be the same thing, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, assuming that it all meets out and plays out the way I think it is, we'll have to prove that out to make sure. So then one of my other questions was, we get on to the statute of limitations for foreclosures. How does that play into this, since there hasn't been a payment made since 2009?
Most of that is a big to do about nothing.
Okay. Don't worry about it.
It's when was documents sent and that sort of thing. I know that a lot of attorneys are looking to try to make a big play on that and just say, well, the lien holders waited too long. But imagine what would happen if that passed in court, and then everybody who was delinquent, we're talking millions and millions of people, all of a sudden they just own their home free and clear forever. I just don't see anything like that happening. But again, that's more of a legal opinion, so I can't really go into that with it. But I think that's also going to start with, well, when was that? Where's the note on this one? What are you actually buying on this? Is it that old node, or is there another newer node on there?
Yeah, I mean, what we're purchasing is the old node. I didn't send you the note because I didn't think we needed to, but it, the note legal description and the mortgage legal description match, as well as it matches the legal description on the county.
Okay, but I'm looking at the right mortgage, though, at least. Yes. The note matches this mortgage that's on the screen right now, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And that's what you're buying, but they're not the owner of the property. Okay.
Correct.
It would be the same thing. You would still foreclose here on this, and that property is the collateral.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then my final question comes into, this mortgage was originally written as an owner-occupied. And there's a clause in there that says you got to owner-occupy, you got to be there within 60 days, got to be there for 12 months. What I'm after is assigning the rents, because obviously it's being rented. They have confirmed there's somebody in the house, and it seems to be in decent shape. So if I'm going to go foreclose on these people, I would, A, like the rents and like to keep the person in there until we get it all done. But I don't. There's not a specific assignment of rents in this mortgage. There is one, if you go down, about miscellaneous fees or whatever. I can't think how they worded it now. Assignment right there, number 11. Assignment of miscellaneous proceeds, forfeitures.
Right.
So can I get an assignment of rents based off of this mortgage?
Yeah, assignment of rents aren't normally written right into the security agreement.
Okay.
That's just a separate item. You're going to have an attorney get involved with that and have the judge just okay that transfer, showing that they're in breach of contract, obviously, and they can't benefit from the proceeds on that property, so you can get assignment from rent that way. That doesn't have to be anywhere in the documents.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Okay, well, again, you did everything right there. Just it's quirky. So sometimes I can tell you the people who hang in these deals and figure it out end up coming out really good on some of these things. So I wouldn't give up on it. I don't think you are, but we just need more information on that. So is there another note? Is there not? And if it ends up being this is the one that you're buying and that's the first position lien, and then it would be business as usual. And Vernango Properties is going to lose that property because it's your collateral at that point in time when you own it. So they have no claim. Now, could they pay you off? Could they make you a short pay offer, something like that? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And maybe that's what happens, because I'm sure you'll get they're in the business, some kind of property management investment.
Actually, I looked up who owned that particular business. They live right there in town.
Sure.
And it looks to be just a single owner, probably a real estate agent or somebody like that owns a couple properties.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not doing bazillions of them or anything like that. So,
you're right. Maybe they paid the person cash. They started renting it out, and they go, "Well, we'll just rent it until we hear from somebody." And it could be that could be the case.
So let me ask this: Let's make the assumption that it was a wrong title search. So the title search did it on the wrong property, just like Pro did initially. What's the likelihood of getting that, if she actually bought it and has a title insurance policy, she should be going back to that title insurance policy. What's the chances of getting paid off from them to leave it alone? Because they're actually on the hook if they did a wrong title search, right? If they searched the wrong property.
And they insured it, you mean? The title insurance?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if there's a problem with title and there's a owner's title policy on there, which she would have had to get this loan from Oak Street Mortgage, she would have had to have a buyer's policy.
I'm talking about Vinago. So either Wakerly or Vinago, when they did it, I assume would have done some kind of title search to verify there was no mortgages or anything on it, and made a educated decision based on a title search that was done on the wrong property. They're off a title insurance policy put on the wrong property. Because what I've discovered in this is there's this 2.5 Harriet and there's a 2 Harriet.
Yeah.
And they both used to be one property and it got split off back in the 50s. And So a lot of the documents I found in doing my research is actually for the, it's listed under 2.5, but it's actually done on the lot for 2.
Hmm.
So they're wrong searches, wrong documents and stuff. So
yeah, the insurances would have to cover that, no question. But
so would they be willing to pay me off instead of me having to foreclose on it?
Well, they would pay it to correct it, so I don't know that there's anything above and beyond them correcting that that influences influences this. If I maybe I misunderstood what you're saying on there, but if it's just like a half lot that wasn't supposed to be included in this, you know, they could correct their error, but I don't think it would go above and beyond that.
Okay. I was just looking at another possible outcome for.
Yeah, no, good thoughts, good questions, and again, that's why we, you know, we have to go to professionals in the business sometimes that simply know this better than we do. So you're on the right track, and going back to Pro Title or getting an attorney up there who's well versed in everything would be able to straighten this out.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Okie dokie.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. Let me mute you back there. All right. That was a tricky one. No question about it. But this is, again, sometimes what you need to do is kind of noodle your way through these, and you bring in experts when you need to. Again, if I was facing that same scenario or looking at that deal, I just need somebody who's better at title and such than I am. You know, and you have people who just live in that world, they're going to be able to help a lot better. So great to ask it here, and you know, if we don't know the direct answer, then look, well, that's what we'll tell you, at least point you in the right direction. But I know sometimes it's nice to hear from somebody else who's going, all right, am I doing this right? I think I've thought it through. And in that case, you absolutely have. And so now it's just a matter of just get more information, maybe run a deeper title search on that, contact a real estate attorney up there and see what we can figure out. All righty, now we got Keith Warrington, bought a non-performing note, mortgage and a note in Kansas, and the note is non-performing because the debtor, the father, had died. Son got the property deed by way of probate. He wants to start up payments. The son also wants the note commitment itself to be transferred to him. How do I do that, and would it be by affidavit, new note, or other means? So, before I get Keith on here, which I'm coming for you in just a minute, Keith, this is, again, comes back to that same premise here, where you've got these three different documents, and they don't all have to be the same party. So the situation we have now is this is dearly departed father, and this is the son. And can the son be put on the deed and conveyed over? Sure. You can give away title of property if you want to. Okay. Conveying title, the conveyance of title is to give away or sell property to somebody else. So the ownership can be given away, but obviously, as you can see in this case study, the dad is still on the note. The dad is still on the security agreement, which means if Keith bought that, could he foreclose? Of course, because you're foreclosing on the promise to pay back and more specifically, the security agreement that empowers that. So he could absolutely, once again, still foreclose here, and the son really couldn't do a heck of a lot of anything other than cure this. Well, how could they cure it? One way that the son could cure this is to pay the note holder off in full. Okay, so maybe that could happen. The second way would be maybe he negotiates with the note owner and does a short payoff. So still paying off the lender, in this case not in full, but to a negotiated, agreed upon price. He could do it that way. Another way they may be able to solve this is if the son agrees to make the payments, but the borrower or the lender would have to agree as well. Okay. So that's really the three different scenarios that are playing out here. So Keith's question is just that. The son got the property, so the son's on the deed, and he wants to start making payments. So I'm sure when I get Keith on here, he's going to say, and I would love him to do that. And I want him to be able to make the payments on that, because his question is really geared to how do I do that. So the son wants to commit to this, in other words, putting himself, the son, on there instead of the father as far as the obligation. How do we get that moved, and is it a new note or something else? So I think that kind of nails the story there. Mr. Keith Warrington, how you doing, sir? I got you unmuted. Keith, you able to talk? All righty. Can't get Keith on there right now. So let's talk through this. Okay. The son is coming in as a new borrower. There, no question about that. So anytime you do that, we're going to have to qualify the new borrower. Okay, we're not just obviously going to say sure, just you know, come on over. We're going to qualify them. So you probably want to do this through a residential loan modification, you know, RMLOO. Get a loan officer to do that. Run them through the qualifications. Now, what I don't know, and here's some of the differences, right? Would Keith be considered a dealer or not? Okay, I know Keith deals a lot in the seller finance world, papering out of deals also. So if Keith has done more than three this year, he absolutely wants to have this done through the loan modification officer, right? He doesn't want to run into any Dodd-Frank issues, anything like that. But even if he doesn't have to do that through a loan officer, you still want to qualify them, right? And that's where we talk in class about everybody's so concerned about Dodd-Frank, and Dodd-Frank is making us do this and that. Dodd-Frank is making you qualify these people. Well, that's how you should do a seller finance anyhow. You don't need the government to tell you to do that. So you should be doing that anyhow. So in today's world, I do think that more and more we're going to see where a licensed person is going to be required to do that. We're not quite there yet. So Keith can make that decision. Get them qualified. Can they afford it? Can they afford to make the payments, that sort of thing? And you're really putting them in there as a new borrower. Right, that's ultimately what happens, because the language of your mortgage probably does not say anything in there that the mortgage is assignable. Okay, it's not in there. So could the parties agree to make that assignable or not? I suppose so, but aren't you really just creating a new note, or are they just taking over the existing note? So that question, I'm going to say also, let's do that through a loan officer in that state. Okay, let's make sure that you're doing it the right way and doing it compliant and compliant. So that could be a loan officer or attorney in that state. To make sure that you're doing it the right way in that state. I could very easily see where some states will say, oh no, this is a new borrower, you have to do a new note, and that's what it shall be. Other states might say, okay, we're going to add an addendum to this where we're going to, both parties are agreeing to assign this same note over to this other individual. My guess would be that they would probably want to do some kind of a modification. Maybe they don't, and that's what... again, I don't have the numbers here, Keith, and I can't get you on the call there, but is there a mod involved? Are there back payments involved here? Is there any kind of reinstatement that they need to do? That I don't know. So again, if it's that kind of a mod, you know, you're really looking at probably a new negotiation, which is a new note. And I think, once again, you're better off in this deal, bring in a, obviously knowledgeable, but I'll put it in there anyway, licensed person to do this one. And that's going to be your best way, because it all of these things can be done, and I think you know that, obviously, and everybody on the call, it can be done. It's just, what is the right way for us to do it to make sure that it's legally enforceable, number one, and it's also compliant, and that's really what it's going to come down to. So you could start this negotiation with the Sun and that sort of thing to kind of see where their head is at as to what they want to do, especially if there's any kind of loan forgiveness or rate adjustments or anything like that that you need to do. You could at least get ballpark information put together, run preliminary numbers, Keith, and see if it works for you, and then I would let the loan officer finalize all that. Now, this is in Kansas, so again, you know the Winberries. You might want to reach out to them. I'm sure they've got somebody in the area that they know that could probably do that for you, Brian and Michelle, and there's some other folks out there obviously as well. But Brian and Michelle have a lot of contacts through their meetups and that sort of thing, and can probably help you out with that. Let's see. All right, just seeing what questions you might have here. Yeah, Tim is same thing. Tim's saying just make sure we qualify the Sun. Yeah. Yeah, Lisa's saying, yeah, you can't just fog a mirror qualifications anymore. Absolutely. Okay, got some more information. Keith says that the they are 6 months behind, $300 a month for 50 months. Okay. Yeah, so there's some additional work out to be done there on the delinquency and that sort of thing. So, like I said, I would start maybe preliminary, kind of ballparking where this guy wants to be, if the numbers work for you or not, and then it's a matter of how do we paper it up the right way. And that's where I would bring in the professional or the licensed person to do that. And Paul's saying, can't they just do a mortgage assumption with reinstatement? And again, maybe they can. And that's where I think in each state there may be some little quirkiness on there where they consider that, well, the language of the loan didn't say that it's assumable, so you have to write a new one. I don't know. And that's where the compliance issues come into play. I would think so. I would think if the lender and the borrower agree that they're going to transfer that liability over there, I don't see why that couldn't be done. I'm just saying, you know, obviously you want to make sure it's done the right way so it's legally enforceable. You know, and the best time to find that out is, you know, before you create the note, right? You want to make sure it's created properly. Keith doesn't want to be 6 months down the road, and then this kid gets information that says, "Oh, well, they can't do that. I'm a loan officer. They can't do that. That's illegal. That's not enforceable." And all of a sudden, they stop paying him. Now he's in a whole different scenario. So these are one of these things where it's better to pay a little bit more upfront on this to make sure that everything is done right, because then if he's 6 months down the road and something goes wrong, well, guess what? That loan officer's insurance company or the attorney's insurance company, they're going to have to cover any of that. That's why you went to those licensed people. So, I wouldn't in a case. It's just different from years ago. We would do a lot more things and just writing, you know, and you just write it. You write your own little addendum on there, and everything was good. It's just, you know, after the big crash, the different laws, the Dodd-Frank, the misinterpretation of Dodd-Frank or the reinterpretation of Dodd-Frank, it can just get a little sticky, and you want to sleep better at night. Just, you know, figure out what the best deal is, then have your licensed person, whether that be an attorney or loan officer, write it up, and that way you're not not going to get in trouble down the road. Bill, the loan officer, RMLO, all these different verbiages they have today, it's a mortgage broker, essentially. So they're all the same thing. Different areas will call them residential loan officers, RLOs, residential loan modification officers, loan officers, mortgage brokers. It's all the same thing. I'm sure there's some technical differences, but all righty. Got it. Good. Okay. Let's see. Our MLSers qualify for new. For us, not performing students that need. Where can we find loan officers and those sorts of folks? I believe we, let me double check here before I, whoops, cover some of this out of here. All right, so if I go to vendors, so I'm on the membership website, tools, resources, go under vendors. I got to make it a little bit smaller. Okay, a lot of these management companies do that service. NAA does that service. Okay, and if you're looking for attorneys, I usually refer people directly to this website, at least to start with, the Legal League 100. Okay, so I went to websites, Legal League 100, just go to members. And these are the attorneys at some of the bigger companies, the people that really work in our specific space. Let's see, okay. Don't have any in Kansas there, unfortunately. And, of course, the other part or place that you could do this is go to the forum and ask your fellow peers, fellow Note School students. So go to forum, log in with your same password information. Go to forums. And just go ahead and type in wherever you like there. So if you're dealing with non-performing, you can click on non-performing. Okay. And right here, just type in looking for a loan, do a loan mod, looking for an agent, looking for a mortgage broker, loan officer, and then type in your info there. Click on submit, and you're done. It'll pop up right there. So a couple different ways to do that. I know there's some other websites for loan officers, but most of the ones I've seen, the other websites, I don't think I have any on here simply because a lot of them are paid sites where people just put their name in there, or you can, they're free sites and people can just add their name to it, so there's really very little to no vetting. So you got some of our vendors that can do that for you. Oh, here's a couple. RMLO, Residential Mortgage Loan Officer, Capstone, National Asset Mortgage, and this is under Tools Resources, Helpful Websites, RMLO. Okay, the other one was under Vendors, and then you got your form. Bob's asking, does a mod or an affidavit have fewer CFPB implication versus a new note? And that's a good question. I don't think that it does, because essentially you have to qualify them the same way anyhow. So I think, Bob, and double check with somebody on that. My thought would be, though, that it's going to be the same standard, whether, and it's so it's, do they qualify for this? And then the next part is, how do we paper it up? So the papering it up might be different in various areas, but I think the qualifications is really what's more on the CFPB level to do that. CFPB, that's another, again, regulatory board that monitors or has authority on these things. We've got some of their materials, for example, under non-performing materials. I think it's industry information. Oh, that's going to be on the other side. Performing. Industry info, CFPB, mortgage servicing rules. Okay, this is particularly servicing rules, but that's who they are, all these different regulations. And the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Very dangerous, by the way. Unelected, have massive, massive amount of control in the industry. Looking, wouldn't be surprised if that changes down the road, but anyhow. Can a fee be included? That's a good question, too. Brian's saying here, it's going to cost us some money to use this loan officer, RMLO, it's going to cost us some money. Can we have the client pay for that? instead of us paying for it. Maybe you pay for it up front, they get approved, and then they have to reimburse it or something like that as an expense for doing the loan. I don't see why not. Again, unless there's some kind of state specific issue, I don't see why not. And that's a great idea, Brian, and that would be something else that you could ask that person. Just say, can we add this into the expense of doing the loan? Yeah. As you're the loan, they're the ones who are papering that out. Good question. Good thought, I should say. If there's a question asked like, please, but not answer it. Not for able. Okay, let's see, Susan. There was a question last week. Not answered. Yes, I do have an answer for you on that now. So here's the question. Let me go back to this screen here. There was a question asked last week but not answered about whether non-performing note students are eligible for the Turnkey Flipping Academy with the vendors. Is there an answer to that? There is an answer to that. And give me 1 second to pull that up so I'm 100% accurate on that. Okay, so here's the answer on this one. All of the Turnkey Flipping Academy educational component, that's everybody gets that. That's in everybody's membership, all levels. All of the vendors are accessible to the to all levels. The only exception is, whoops. Exceptions that NAA will only sell the house and all the services involved with that if you have the performing note training. Okay? So that means if you are a platinum member and you have chosen to focus on non-performing notes, can you still use rent facts? Sure. Can you still use servicing through NPS? Sure. Can you do those sorts of things? Absolutely. If you're going to follow through that 50-50 model and you are going to have NAA sell that house for you, that's where they answer all the phone calls for you, they paper up the deal and all that sort of stuff, you will have to be at least a Diamond member. You could upgrade Diamond. Titanium, of course, would be in there as well. Or if you're already platinum big money, if you're platinum rich rewards performing side, then that's fine. You have that as well. So I hope I wrote that clearly. The exception is that NAA will only sell the house and all the services if you have the performing note training, because that is a performing note exercise, and they do not want to be in the training business, and that is our agreement with them. Alrighty, so that clarifies that. Yes. Okay. Sylvia, I don't know. We don't have enough information, and that's why I kind of skipped your question from earlier. Sylvia, I don't know we couldn't see anything as a tax sale affecting that first deal we looked at of Paul's. Couldn't see anything with a tax sale on that, but again, we got to find out more documentation, though. That was the bottom line on that. All right. Very good. Looks like we got everybody covered there. Don't see any lingering questions, so I'll go ahead and wrap it up here. I know some people like to get this after I've written some notes. I didn't write a whole lot of notes on there, but I'll do that nonetheless since it was requested. Paul's coming back saying taxes have been paid and are current. Thank you, Paul. Very good. All right, everybody. You guys have a good rest of your evening, and hope you all had a good 4th of July. I meant to mention that. I'll share this with you before I let you loose here. I 4th of July, the day of, I got a really nice email, and came in about 3 o'clock in the morning, so I got it the next day. But I got a really nice email from one of our students, and many of you know him, but I didn't ask him if I could say anything, so I'm going to refrain from using his name. But he said, sent me an email just hoping that my family and I were doing well, enjoying our summer. He is in Berlin right now with his family. He's on a 3-month tour of Europe during the summer. And they started in Ireland, and they're making their way through London and Paris and Barcelona and Madrid and Brussels and Amsterdam. Now they're in Berlin. They're going on to Prague, to Munich, to Bern, to Florence. I mean, they are taking, they're seeing all of it. And he said in their my note business and real estate has allowed me to have this freedom of time and money to explore the world with my family. Thank you for the education guidance. Wishing you a happy 4th of July. So, cool. Very neat. Very, you know, a lot of people ask why we still do this, why you still go out and do trainings and that sort of thing. That's one of the big reasons right there. That's very rewarding, very nice, and knowing that we're having that kind of a positive impact. So we'll leave you with that nice little thought there. All right. Y'all have a great rest of your evening, and we'll talk to you again. Bye now.